everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian Wimpen and William Tincup coming to you live every day talking about HR. And it's gonna be me, and we might hear from William. He might call in, so we'll wait and see on that. And otherwise, let's get to our guest and Mr. Alex Brown. First time, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it'll be. Good show. If you would, we'll kick it off here, and also happy Tuesday. It's Tuesday. I'm like, what day is it? Happy Tuesday to everybody. Make sure that you, if you get a chance, get it on the calendar. We've got our Twitter chat coming up, hosted by our wonderful People Clues. Kat Carlos hosts our People Chat, which is ##, for those new to the game. People Chat right after this, and it's a very cool subject or topic we're doing today around pushing through change and kind of fulfillment and things like that. So it'll be really good and kind of the new direction that we actually are going with the chat. So tune into that. So Alex, if you would, let's get back to you, because you are the most important person to me in the next 27 minutes right now. I'm focused on you, so full attention. And introduce yourself, and let's roll into kind of what's top of mind with you.
Sure thing. It's a pleasure to be here. Again, my name is Alex Brown. I work in human resources at Waste Management Incorporated here in Houston, Texas. We are the nation's largest comprehensive environmental services provider. We do a lot more than garbage. We're the nation's largest recycler. And shameless plug, tomorrow we will be teeing off the Waste Management Phoenix Open in Scottsdale, Arizona. So that is a huge part of our five-year sponsorship of that program. And we are really excited to be there on the ground. We've got tons of our best operatives there making it the greenest show on grass. So just one of the many things that we do that gets me excited about my job. Specifically in HR, I work in the talent acquisition group. I report to our director of corporate talent acquisition, which includes talent strategy as well. In my particular role, I'm the social media and employment branding specialist for the talent group. My job is to support the recruiters. The recruiters in our organization are my customers. And so my job is to make sure that I'm helping them with grassroots or with larger efforts to ensure that we're driving as many people into their roles as possible, casting the widest net that we possibly can, and in particular in the digital space. A pretty easy way to look at it is if you're a candidate, if you're a current employee, or if you've worked at Waste Management at some point and you're engaging with Waste Management on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or anywhere else in the digital space, you're talking to me. And my job is to get you as an active or passive candidate, as a current employee or an alum, to join a productive and exciting conversation about the opportunities that we have at all levels throughout the company at our 1,200 locations across the U.S. and Canada. So that's really what gets me out of bed in the morning, so I can come into the office and come in and support my recruiters and give them really cool, innovative programming in ways that they've never been able to do before. Even if it's back to traditional media, I do fall back on that as well, at traditional marketing and communications for HR. But I'm always striving to push the envelope. I'm always trying to get those recruiters to do something that they've never done before to see if we can yield ROI on a potentially free tool that we use in social media. So I'm really excited about my job. I've been doing it for almost 3 years at this point. I've had a great career with Waste Management and I want to keep it moving in a positive way, keeping us in the space as an innovator in social and digital recruitment.
Sure. So do you get to interact with my buddy Jenny Devon very much?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without making it sound too sappy, Jenny Devon has really been my mentor as the social media manager for Waste Management. And before that, she was the manager of recruitment marketing here in HR. From day one, literally, we clicked. And it was a really exciting partnership that continues to flourish. as she manages the social media council and all social media footprint activities that we have, whether that's active programming like managing what we're doing for the Phoenix Open, or the day-to-day pushing out of corporate key messages, one of which is we're a great place to work, and people love their jobs and
sure.
have great careers with us. And so it's my job to help amplify that section of her overall social media message.
Well, so Alex, you ready for me to put you on the spot? You got
sure.
it in you?
All
right.
Sure.
We're on. So what is the what's the single best thing about working with Jenny D? A lot of people out there listening. We have a huge listenership and lots of folks, obviously, because of the Jenny's career and just she's been so involved in kind of how social recruiting and social has evolved in the HR space. A lot of people know her. So I just want to hear from somebody that actually is, you know, some would say forced to work with her. I would say love to work with her. What's the single best thing about working, and being part of that team?
You know, I got to say, without a doubt, she never bats an eye at the stickiest situation. Whether that's an offensive tweet or dealing with a key stakeholder in the company, if there's a fire to be put out, she does it with class, with charm, and professionalism in a way that I hope that I could do any day. I've learned so much about practical and interpersonal communication from her that she is able to walk into any conversation blind and handle it with such ease and with such class. That I really love the way that she's able to engage with people and turn any negative situation into a positive and keep those positives moving with great feedback. It's really been a pleasure working with her, and for that and many other reasons.
Well, awesome. So you weren't on the spot yet. I was teeing it up. So what's the biggest challenge working with her? Now you're on the spot.
Well, the biggest challenge with her is the breadth of items that she covers, and it's like I said, it's my job to help her with depth in certain areas of social media, and oftentimes she'll rope me in to an area where I've had no experience. She'll ask me to do something that I've never done before, and she'll say, I trust you and I need you to do this. And so, and it's not frustrating, but sometimes it's a little I get put on the spot because she trusts me, and because we have a great working relationship, she's able to push me into sometimes uncomfortable situations where I have to really think, what would Jenny do? And so just the sheer number of things that she's constantly working on, from traditional communications all the way up to her high-profile social media content, just being able to help her manage that huge breadth that she takes on is a big challenge. And being able to help get deep down into those different branches of social media, in particular in the recruiting space, that's where I'm most comfortable. But she's called in sick and she said, Alex, I need you to run Facebook and Twitter today without any warning. So sometimes just being put on the spot with her and being told, I trust you, now don't disappoint me, is something that leads to unique challenges and oftentimes great successes. So in a way it's something I like, but it is also a huge challenge working with her because she puts so much faith in what I do that I never want to disappoint her.
Well, she's definitely I'm trying to think what day that was. Oh, I think it was January 1st last time I had seen her. And she's all about putting you on the spot. There is no doubt about that, as uncomfortable as it may be. So I remember exactly what the phrase was that she used with me. And, it made me think. So I totally hear what you're saying about that. And I don't think she never does. What's interesting is she never does it where it's ever malicious, but she definitely does it where she pushes people. And I think that's probably the thing I like about her the best is she's not afraid to push to see how far somebody, can push themselves, which is a blast. So her thing with me is she accused me of not being a risk taker. So I'm like, okay, I see how you roll there, Jenny DeMond. So
well,
what
I'm sure at this point her ears are burning.
Oh, yeah, trust
somewhere
me.
Somewhere on a golf course in Scottsdale, Arizona, Jenny Devon's ears are burning right now.
Good. That's the that's part of the intent. So, you know, again, got to keep it in the family, right? Circle of trust. I mean, there's only a few thousand people who are going to, you know, are listening to this. So, you know, nobody's going to say anything to her.
Well, at the end of the day, she's a consummate professional, and she has mentored me into a place where I am. I find that I'm having great success in what I do, and I find it doubtful that without her, I would be where I am today.
Well, that's you know, that's good props to her, and your company has definitely evolved. So, what else is you know, kind of to go away from just kind of the your brand specifically? What's top of mind for you? I mean, relative to the HR, the social space. I mean, let's kind of get into. I mean, you're doing this every day. You're playing for a big company. You've got some real high caliber folks around you. You got a lot of tools, a lot of resources. So what's top of mind for Alex today?
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. The having tools and having resources,
okay.
And really the scalability of those things, scaling programs to fit the strategies. In order to please the key stakeholders in our organization. I'm approached with all different kinds of things. You know, one morning I'll be on a phone call and someone says, well, why can't we make this video go viral? Well, at the end of the day, they probably don't understand what virality truly means. They've heard the term and they want it to happen. And so scaling a program or scaling a push for jobs or scaling a branding initiative to ensure that we're meeting the expectations of our key stakeholders while not sacrificing the integrity of the program is something that that I find to be a unique challenge almost every day, whether it's a recruiter or a hiring manager, even at the executive level, or all the way down to the most basic level of managers out in the field. A lot of them, you know, they may hear, oh, you've got this really cool tool. You're using social media. Can you tweet that for me? Well, sure, I can, but here's how I'm going to do it, and here's how it's going to fit into a larger process, and here's how it's and managing those expectations, ensuring that they understand that we don't just go out and create chatter, we don't just create senseless noise, that everything we do is strategic, and we do everything for a reason, and that we're constantly pushing to balance that we have a great amount of content and that we're doing fantastic things in social, but we're not creating noise and we're not creating just a bunch of garbage for people. You know, one of the things that we do is we target our Facebook posts by geography. If we're hiring in the state of Maryland, we'll only make sure that people in the state of Maryland see that information. So when we go and report back and we send someone the screenshot of the Facebook post and it said this was viewed by 871 people and got 4 likes, well, that person says, well, why didn't it get 1,000 likes? Well, it's because we showed it to a very small audience. So
right.
These kinds of management of expectations is something that's on the top of my mind all the time. And I find it turns into teachable moments. I find it turns into ways to educate and reverse mentor people, which is something that I've developed a true passion for in my organization, and I'm very pleased to be able to have the opportunities to do it all the time. Someone who may be playing buzzword bingo, who's trying to make themselves sound like they know a lot about social. Well, I like to turn that into a teachable moment and say, do you really know what you're talking about here? Let me teach you so that you have a full understanding of this and can clearly picture where we're taking you and where we're guiding you with our tactical execution on social.
So I'm going to – actually, let me do a quick reset here. Everybody listening to Drive Through HR, we're on with Alex Brown from – Waste Management, and we might hear from William Tincup today. He's out there. He might call in, and definitely tune in for our for the People Chat, our Twitter chat at the end, hashtag People Chat. Check it out. Blog post earlier about the content and the questions. Join in. It's a blast. It's 30 minutes, so it rock and rolls, goes quick. And so, Alex, I want to take you a little different kind of direction here. So as you're working through kind of you know, you're an evangelist for the brand. Let me set the question up a little bit. You're an evangelist for the brand. You obviously are very passionate about working for the company and what you do. You're in talent acquisition. So, you know, from a recruitment standpoint, so where do you see people's kind of hobbies and personality and just kind of, you know, what they're passionate about non-career-wise, where do you see that playing into the recruiting process?
You know, that is a fantastic question, and I am a firm believer that there is a not just delicate, but really there's a wide swath, a huge area for you to be comfortable in the social space, developing a personal brand that's associated with your parent brand for the company that you work for. I know we keep going back to Jenny Devon, but a classic example is her, for lack of a better term, borderline obsession with NASCAR. The fact that she keeps that very prominently on her LinkedIn profile, that she keeps
right.
it in her Twitter bio, you know, that she's a NASCAR fan. I'm a firm believer that everybody should be able to talk about their passions. It humanizes you. It makes it you're not a robot. You're not just someone who sits at a computer and dispositions candidates and does phone screens. You love to cook. You love to take your dogs for walks. You love roller skating. Those are things that if you love it, don't fake it. Incorporate it into your personal brand. Put it on your Twitter stream. People love to see that. People love to see that recruiters and the key stakeholders in HR are human. You know, another example that I absolutely love is I'm a huge fan of electronic dance music. Not necessarily the most workplace appropriate thing if you know everything about the EDM scene, but I certainly will tweet about it. I certainly will talk about it. And I try and familiarize things that may be distant to people that they may not be familiar with and show them that that is something that anyone, whether you sit in HR, communications, out in the field, everyone is allowed to have passions and everyone is allowed to share those in a way that everyone's comfortable with. You know, we don't engage with people on Twitter when their Twitter handles are 420 smoke a lot and they're talking about drug use. You know, we won't tweet back at someone like that from a professional standpoint. But if someone, their main focus on Twitter is that they're a bodybuilder and they're coming to us and they need information from us, we're happy to engage with someone who expresses their passion in a brand. And so or in a hobby. And then they decide to engage with a brand. So we'll find that doing that same practice with recruiters is absolutely something that works. You know, we have every organization has recruiters that are old fashioned, that go by the books, that live by their old tried and true adages. They like to cold call. They like to post and pray. And that's not going to change. And they get their jobs done. They fill their seats. They keep their rec loads down. And they do it that way because it works for them. Then there are people in the organization, no matter what their level of experience, that are going to be more adventurous and they're going to be more bold. And they're going to want to try something like building out a Twitter profile for themselves or really connecting with candidates on LinkedIn, not just connecting with their friends and having a professional network of their peers, but connecting with candidates and developing long-term relationships to keep a pipeline of passive candidates that are lukewarm. Kick that up a notch. Kick it up to a simmer. Turn those passive candidates into active ones, because if they see the humanized side of your organization, that is a huge draw in my mind. From a personal standpoint and from a professional one, I feel that if someone is all work all the time, that's not someone I necessarily want to connect with in a professional way. I mean, I will if I have to, but if someone is willing to talk about where they went to go eat this weekend or shows pictures of their dogs at a dog park or something, that in my mind shows that they're human and it makes me want to work with them, because those are the kinds of people that I connect with the best and work with in the most comfortable way.
Well, good. Kind of to continue on that stream of thought, how do you mentor? Because you talked about reverse mentoring and it was important to you. So how do you mentor people that you either work with or just peers or people that you come across to actually be more authentic? Get to the real, you know what I mean? Get past the commercial and be more themselves. Just calm the F down and be themselves. How do you help them do that? What's the talk track on that?
Well, those are in the pretty advanced stages of training. We'll keep going down the Twitter example, building out Twitter profiles for recruiters. The first thing that I can take two paths with them, and I feel that both are effective, but they're effective for different kinds of recruiters. For folks who really just aren't comfortable, who are really squirmy about Twitter, and they really don't understand it at all, and but they want to jump into it, but they just don't quite get it, my favorite thing to do with them is encourage them to be human on Twitter first. Connect with your friends, connect with your colleagues, talk about your dogs, talk about restaurants, talk about music. Get comfortable with the tool, talking about the things that you're passionate about in your personal life in a workplace appropriate way, so that I can then encourage someone to say, well, if you're passionate about X, Y, and Z, are you also passionate about your job? Are you passionate about HR? Are you passionate about recruiting? Why not add those elements into the same Twitter stream that you're already now comfortable with? For other people, I take the exact opposite route. They want Twitter for business purposes, and they want to have a strict online brand that associates them with the company. I can take them down that road as well. And then usually to get them out of that mentality of I'm here doing this for the company and that's it, those Twitter streams get boring. And those are the kinds of ones that we really do need to humanize. I like to start connecting them with other professionals like myself or with Jenny Devon that show that it is possible to have a lively presence on those networks with colleagues, with friends, with family, and that you're able to really use those in two different ways. Depending on the customer, being the recruiter, I try and get them comfortable with one of two different areas, because they're going to be comfortable with one or the other. They see Twitter as a, hey, I'm brushing my teeth this morning, let me mindless jibber jabber. They see that and they may be comfortable with that, so let's get them started on that. Others see the professional side of it and are weary about sharing personal details. Let's get them started on the professional side, connect them with some of those more middle ground people who have balanced those two things so that they can see firsthand that it is possible. So getting them started on either of those tracks and slowly but surely getting them to open up and to change their behavior by letting them know primarily that we're not monitoring, but we're certainly having our ears up. You know, we're listening. You know, part of the Social Media Council and what we do is we have the full Twitter fire hose. We have every brand mention. We have, when we're out there, we're listening. And all we have to do is follow someone to understand what their stream is all about. And we're not there to punish someone when something doesn't go right, but we're there to turn it into a teachable moment. You know, I've certainly had folks that I've mentored before where I'll direct message them on Twitter and say, hey, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. You might want to yank that down. Give me a call on Monday. We'll talk for 15 minutes, and I'll get you back on the right track. So I'm certainly not afraid to tell people when they've done something that may not fit in with their overall strategy, and I'm certainly no stranger to letting people know that maybe you should take a risk and try something that you're not exactly comfortable with. Try it once, see how it works out, and we'll turn it into a teachable moment.
So what's some examples for you, some of those maybe not a teachable moment, but a growth moment where personally, professionally, I mean, either one, where stuff kind of blew up on you, maybe when you first started on Twitter, just maybe an example. You don't need to give complete specifics, but what's an example of you going, I probably would do that differently next time now that it kind of blew up and I've had to fix some stuff. Anything that's ever happened to you?
Yes, and this is a story that Jenny Devon knows very well because she was the one that called me on it. Something that, you know, I'm not particularly, I'm not scared to tell people because it's a cautionary tale about platform management. I'm a dedicated iPhone user. I manage two Twitter accounts on my iPhone, and I used to do both of them through the basic Twitter application for iPhone. I would manage my personal Twitter handle @the_AlexBrown, as well as the @WMCareers Twitter handle from the same device using the exact same application. I went to Walmart on a Saturday afternoon two summers ago, and I bought, I was thrilled that I was able to find a bathing suit that had Angry Birds on it. I love Angry Birds. And I was so excited. As soon as I got home, I took a picture of the bathing suit, and I said, ready to rock out at the pool with my Angry Birds swimsuit that I got from Walmart. And I mentioned the Walmart Twitter handle in there. So pumped, so glad they had it. Was something like my tweet, and that went out from the Waste Management Careers account. Within 10 seconds, Walmart responded back to me and they said, hey, at WM Careers, that is so great. We love that you love your Angry Birds bathing suit. You know, that's so cool. I'm just super glad that the content that I push out on my profile is totally appropriate and is in no way offensive or hurts anyone's sensibilities, because that did go out there, and for about 15 minutes it was live on the WM Careers handle. And not 30 seconds after I deleted it, I got a phone call from Jenny Devon. She said, you know what you did, don't you? She called me on it. She saw it. She saw the engagement. She's monitoring it. And that just shows the importance of having a partner and having a key stakeholder and a mentor that can teach you and coach you through these moments. I was in a state of panic. I thought for sure I was going to lose my job, that it was going to be one of the great moments of, the KitchenAid Twitter account that, dropped profanity during a political event using a political hashtag. You know, that kind of stuff can really blow up in someone's face if you're not monitoring your platforms and if you're not managing how you handle your accounts in a strategic way. And so what I do now is it's per her advice and, did a little research, and I now manage the Waste Management Twitter account through Hootsuite and stick my personal account back in the Twitter app to ensure that we're not seeing any of that cross-posting back and forth anymore. It also gives me, the ability to have a more robust ability to listen to what's going on and monitor mentions and keep direct messages in line with the WM Careers account, since I'm using something, a tool that's a bit stronger than the traditional Twitter app for iPhone. So, hey, it blew up in my face. I tweeted from the WM Careers account about Angry Birds to Walmart, and they responded. Luckily, it was harmless. Thank my lucky stars that it was. But it's something that can happen to anyone, and it is a cautionary tale to no matter what branch of social media you're in, no matter what branch of HR you're in. If you're engaging in the social space and you have multiple platforms that you're managing, I would strongly recommend keeping it to multiple different applications so that there's no confusion between those.
Yeah, that's a pretty good story. I'll give you props on that one. That's a very tangible story that I'll give you credit as I share that, because that's good. So what are some places that you are going to be going? What conferences do you go to? What are some of the things that you're planning to attend this year in your role or representing the brand, where people might actually be able to meet you? Or just give us an idea of that.
Yeah, absolutely. My next big speaking engagement, I'm going to be speaking on a panel in partnership with the Direct Employers Association. I will be at the Winter Policy Forum for the National Association of State Workforce Agencies in Washington, D.C. at the end of February. As well, I've applied to speak at various HR conferences, HR Florida. We're in the works on that one. So there are certainly going to be opportunities coming up. There is as well another one. I'll be speaking at the Universum Employer Branding Conference in May in New York City, hosted by the New York Times and Universum, a spot that actually Jenny Devon filled last year. So I've got some big shoes to fill up there at that Employer Branding Conference in May. And, as opportunities come up, I'm always open to speaking. I'm always open to sharing best practices. I had a fantastic experience at the Direct Employers annual meeting in Scottsdale, Arizona, and as well, for those of you who are familiar with the organization formerly SIFE, which is now known as Enactus, which is a band of college teams that come together to present about bettering the world at national contests, which includes a recruiting element. I was at their Career Connections meeting last week in Plano and was able to speak on best practices for free in social media to supplement, not replace, the items that you're already doing casting your net out as wide as you can in HR.
Well, perfect. Alex, definitely let hopefully people connect up with you. Folks, you can find Alex, because we're out of time, real quick, at @_AlexBrown. Connect up with him. Great job. Please pass on to my buddy, Jenny DV, that I said hello. She got a little love on the drive-through HR, and we'll have to have you back on toward the end of the year and see if you got any more crazy stories. So, Alex, thank you very much. Folks, we are out of here.